Hello, hello, and welcome to the Next Level Loan Officers Podcast, the number one podcast for loan officers by loan officers.
With real originators in the trenches, just like you, every single day.
If they can go there, how come I can't go there? Well, you can.
Like, if you don't water your plants, you don't have future crops. You can't feed your family. You can't make a living. This is watering your crops.
You have to find your community and you have to dig in.
If it wasn't for you guys, I can tell you, probably my trajectory would have been a completely different one.
We'll see you on the next Next Level Loan Officers Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome. Welcome back to the Next Level Podcast. And I got to tell you, we have a really good friend of mine on the show today. He taught in our community, gosh, a couple months ago now, I think, Jonathan.
Yeah, it was.
And it was just talked about and talked about and talked about and continues to be talked about because there is this little two-letter word that you have become an incredible voice for that we call AI.
Yeah.
And technically, that's not a two-letter word, but it's an abbreviation of two words. Guys, Jonathan Mast, he has been a part of multiple seven-figure agencies. He is a wizard. He even grew a beard to make you believe it even more that he is Gandalf the Great. And now you literally pour every waking moment of your life, aside from when you're with your family, into AI, how to leverage it, what it's doing. Every time something new comes out, you're giving me another website I need to go check out. Jonathan, you're unbelievable at all of this. I can't wait to dig into this. Thanks for being on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me. I don't know if I can live up to the amazing intro, but I'll do my best. I do, as you know, I love AI, and I've got a servant's heart. I really want to serve others and help them figure out how they can use it to make their lives better too.
Well, and you're so good at it. And I think what you're even better at is, I think, dumbing it down to a level that normal people can understand, like myself, who's going to try to not be completely outmanned during this podcast episode where you say things and I have to just pretend like I know what you're talking about.
It's easy, Kyle, because I'm really not that smart. So I just have to understand it. And then I just speak normally and it makes sense to people.
Well, it's whatever you've got to do it. It's unbelievable. And you know, you've said this, I've said this, I hear other people say this, like AI isn't going to replace us, but people using AI will.
100%. Absolutely.
Right? And so let's go back for just a second for people that don't know you. Like, can you just kind of give us the story of like how and when and why you really decided to lean into to AI to start with?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I've been in the digital marketing world for number of years. I sold my first website in 1995. So I like to tell people I've earned all this gray hair, now more than gray. And I've always been into tech stuff. I'm not a techie guy. I mean, I can't fix a computer or anything like that, but I love software. I love applications. And I've been using AI things for many, many years. When ChatGPT came out and it made it so accessible, I'm like, okay, this now is something that can make sense to people and that the average entrepreneur can actually put in and integrate into their business, empower their team with, and really bring huge value very, very quickly. Being an adult with ADD, I got diagnosed when I was 43 years old as having ADD. Anything that allows me to do something quickly is a win for me because that's just the way my brain works. And AI lets me do that in so many ways. So, we got into it and the message started resonating with people. I tried to focus on, again, how can businesses and entrepreneurs use AI tools? And they started asking questions and I've been talking ever since.
And since we started all of these conversations, you've gone viral multiple times on social media of clips of you teaching and educating on this stuff. And so you truly have become like a topical authority in the world of AI. And several months ago, you know, you and I, we bartered our services. Yeah. I let you into my video boot camp. You have been helping me with topical authority. And I don't think enough people truly understand like what this is and the leverage that it provides. And so can you just quickly talk about, before we jump in, like what is topical authority and then why should anybody watching or listening care?
Well, it's a simple question. Do you want to be seen as the go-to expert in your niche? And if the answer is yes, then that is what I call topical authority. And it's very simple, Kyle. As you know, it's just being seen as that expert in your niche. And that means from a media perspective, speaking really to your forte, you need to be seen everywhere that your audience is at, so that when they're ready, whether it's to get a mortgage, to buy a house, to get a roof, to buy a car, whatever it is, that they can't think of anybody but you, because you are the person that's showing up in their feed every time they're looking at it. And that's becoming that expert. And then, of course, it's adding value to their life. So it's not just showing up. It's then when you're there that you're adding value. And the great news is if you do that, if you simply go to add value, the algorithms will support you and they'll make sure you show up in front of everybody. It's that simple.
So, you know, it sounds simple to you and I because we're in the content creation space.
Yep.
We're doing it not just regularly, but every single day.
Consistency. Yep.
To the person watching, listening, that like they get it, right? They understand they need to be seen as the expert. What do you believe the consistency should look like when it comes to, is it multiple platforms? Is it multiple posts a day? Like what does that rhythm look like for you?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Well, I think first we need to define that we live in an imperfect world, so we can't shoot for perfection. And by that, I mean, good today is better than perfect tomorrow, because tomorrow will never come if we try to be perfect. And I think that ultimately, I think that's what ruins more people's ideas of creating content and doing content marketing than anything else, because they want to be perfect. I'm not perfect today. I mean, my shirt's messed up. There's wrinkles in it. I wore a striped shirt, which is going to look really funky on video. I mean, but who cares? You know, my hair is messed up. I don't care, because at the end of the day, recording content with you, Kyle, is better than not recording content with you.
Right.
And therefore, that's what I'm focused on. I think, again, most people, they get too caught up in the fact of how many times a day and what this. Is there a minimum? I don't know. I mean, if you're, it's more than what you're doing now. That's the ultimate answer.
Okay. Yeah.
But what do I do? I generally post 3 to 6 times a day on social media. I generally put out a blog post every single day, and I generally put out 1 to 2 videos every single day.
Wow.
Do you have to do that? No, you don't. But I happen to have topics that I'm passionate about and I love. I actually like to create content. I'm a weirdo. It's like I enjoy getting in front of the camera. I enjoy answering questions. I enjoy teaching. And I think that's probably the biggest part. Just people go, what am I supposed to talk about? Just answer the questions that your audience is asking. And if you're not sure, there's tons of sites you can go to, like Answer the Public and Ask Socrates and things like that online. Just go, you know, if you're a realtor, go in and type, you know, residential real estate agent, and see what questions these tools, and even Google through their People Also Ask will tell you. These are questions that people are asking about your industry. And this miraculous thing happens, Kyle, when you just answer those questions in written form and in video, and video is so critical here. It doesn't have to be long. My average video is, you know, my average video is under probably 45 seconds.
Yeah.
The one I posted last night was like 22 seconds. The one that I've had that's gone viral most recently, I think, was like 28, 29 seconds. These don't have to be long, long, drawn out content. Do I do longer form? Yeah, but most of it's short form, because what are we doing? We're all out there on our mobile phone.
Right.
We're scrolling and we're scrolling and we're scrolling. Depending on the stats you read, it indicates multiple hours per day for the average person in North America is spending on their phone. And that means if you as an entrepreneur want to be in front of them, you need to be where they're at. And that used to be the radio, and it used to be the newspaper. It's not anymore. It's now short form video. And then you need the content to back that up, because once they discover you, they find you, whether it's through an ad or because Facebook puts you in front of them, then they're going to start doing some research and say, who's Kyle? What's Kyle good at? And if you don't have any other content out there, they're going to go look for the next person that does. So part one is getting the attention. And then part two is adding value to their lives by answering their questions. And when you do that, I know some entrepreneurs, they're scared to death. If I tell them what I do, then they don't need me. No, if they don't need you, they weren't going to hire you in the first place.
Right.
Tell them what to do. Tell them how to do it. Share all your insider secrets. Literally, I'm an open book. And you know what? 20 to 30% of the people that listen don't want to do it. They don't want to become that expert. So then what do? They reach out to who they think is the expert. And if they learn from me, that means they're probably reaching out to me or to you or whomever.
So it's so true. It's so true. So as we kind of bring AI into this, because you did an incredible training in our paid group a couple months ago,
where you
began to dig into AI and how to prompt it correctly. Because most of the struggle that I watch with people and that I experience myself is I just open up ChatGPT and I type in something, you know, that's just like, hey, I need an email copy about social media. And then I'm shocked when it's not what I want it to be.
Yeah, exactly.
When I gave them nothing to actually go from. And so when we talk about topical authority and then we bridge that with AI, what does it look like to correctly use AI to find that topical authority for the content creation piece?
Well, I tell you what, let's start off. I shared with you my prompting framework. Let's start off by bringing that up on the screen and sharing that, because whether we're doing this for topical authority or anything else, I think this makes sense. We need to remember that AI is this vast, vast knowledge base that's out there. And if we don't give it some context, Kyle, it's like if you and I are working together in an office and we're working on a project. If I just go, hey, Kyle, I need to create a video today for my audience, and I don't tell you what it's about, who I'm doing, you, even though you're a professional at video coaching, you can't help me out without asking me some more questions. Now, when we add into the fact that AI has been trained not to ask us questions, but to fill in the gaps, because let's face it, if it acted like a three-year-old every time we asked it to do something, it went, why, we'd stop using it.
Right.
And so they've been taught to fill in the blanks. So what we need to do, it's four simple steps. And I'm going to give you a quick example. Pay attention to the dark blue if you're looking at this. First, we need to tell ChatGPT how it should act. You go, what do you mean? We need to give it some context. If my wife comes and says, we need to talk, I go, I do?
Yeah.
But if she comes in and says, we need to talk about what we're doing for dinner, I'm like, oh, no problem. I got that. Right. I know right where to go. And so, exactly, me too. We need to tell ChatGPT the same thing.
Okay.
Next, we need to give it some context. So again, if you and I are working together and I give you no context, you don't know, you can't help me. So once I've told it how it should act, and then I've given it some context, now I get to ask my question. And then fourth part is probably the most important. Because AI is taught to make assumptions, Kyle, we need to then give it permission to ask us questions. And we simply say, ask me any questions you need answered in order to provide me with the best response. And when you do that, ChatGPT is like that, oh, cool, I can ask questions. But if you don't do that, it's going to act like it's a threatened teenager who doesn't want to talk to anybody and is just going to make assumptions. So if we put that together as a sample, and I know this doesn't fit for everybody, but just as an example, you know, in the orange, you're an expert business consultant, and I want to create a standard operating procedure for my on-site teams. I actually did this slide the other day for a home services company. So imagine they're sending people out into the community. They're going in sites or in houses to serve people. And I need you to write a comprehensive SOP for my team when entering a home for a service call. Ask me any questions you need answered in order to provide me with the best response. So that orange part is the prompt, and it's just those four steps. You can use it for topical authority. I can say, I need you to act as an expert, you know, personal branding consultant. I want to create a better, more personal brand so that I'm seen as the go-to expert in my niche. I need you to write me or give me 10 questions that my audience is asking so that I can answer them. And if you have any questions for me, ask before you give me your response. Same thing. You fill it in each of the four steps. If you do that, ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, Perplexity, whatever model you're using is going to give you amazing answers back. And if they can't, they're going to ask you good questions to clarify so they can give you amazing answers. That's it.
It's so good. I've never asked ChatGPT to ask me questions. So just that in and of itself is an aha moment for me, because I'm missing opportunity because I'm not telling this engine that knows every data point on the planet to use me as a resource to gain that clarity. I think that's huge. But also, Jonathan, so I always make the mistake, and maybe this isn't a mistake. I'm going to let you clarify this as the expert. But when I'm in ChatGPT, I almost always open a brand new prompt. And is that bad? Like,
that's
do
a
I
good
need
question.
To operate inside of certain promptings because that's where it remembers the conversations we've had?
So we need to remember that ChatGPT has a memory. And if you can imagine, you're at a great big warehouse and there's this really long conveyor belt in front of you and it goes for hundreds of yards. But at the end of it, when it ends, there's nothing there. So if you put something on the conveyor belt and it starts rolling down, at some point, as we put more and more stuff on that conveyor belt, stuff on the far end is going to fall off. And that's how ChatGPT's memory works.
Okay.
So what you want to do is, as you're having unique questions with ChatGPT, you want to start a new conversation or a new chat for each unique topic. But okay. You can always go back. So let's say we were talking about personal branding. I wanted to come up with questions for my personal branding. Once I've gone through that, I may then want to ask it another question that's unrelated, like how do I make pizza for my kids for dinner? I don't know. Whatever comes up. That should be a new chat. But later in the day, when I want to go back and I want more topics, I can go back to that original chat. It's kind of like a text conversation. Kyle, if I'm texting you and we're talking about a topic and I'm texting my wife and we're talking about a topic, I don't want to mix those because both of you are going to be really confused about what we're talking about.
Right.
But if I keep talking to you about video marketing and I keep talking to my wife about what's for dinner, then everybody's on the same page. And each chat inside ChatGPT, Gemini, Bard, whatever, or Claude, whatever, that's the same thing. They're like separate text conversations. And if you keep that in, it'll remember until you get way to the end and it falls off. It'll remember that context for you and be able to give you better responses.
Okay. That's so good. I've got a lot of growing to do when it comes to all this AI stuff. So where I want to begin to land the plane is with something that you told me when we got to actually meet for the first time.
Yeah.
Sitting in a booth at a coffee shop, hanging out. And you said, Kyle, you know, you can take your favorite personality assessment, your
yes.
favorite business assessment, whether it's DISC or Myers-Briggs or Enneagram, StrengthFinder, you can load that in to your prompt. And then now it will write in a writing style associated with your personality type.
Exactly.
Can you talk us through that for a few minutes?
Sure.
And then more specifically, could you even share, like, how do we put that correctly in a prompt?
Yep, so that, absolutely.
Because I remember the first time I tried it, it just started writing stuff about that type. And I was like, no, that's not... This is a behind the scenes information. I need you to just know this, not write about this.
Absolutely.
And it gets me frustrated.
Fair enough. Well, so you're absolutely right. AI, one of the biggest complaints about AI is it doesn't sound like me, whoever you are.
Right.
So the best way to do it is, I don't get anything for this, but it's a great site. If you go to 16personalities.com, it's a Myers-Briggs personality test. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It's actually fun too, because you learn some really cool stuff about yourself. Take the questions. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes, and it's going to give you a 4-letter code when it's done. There's 16 personalities, and there's like 2 to 3 variations of each. So I happen to be, I think it's an ENTJ or something. I'd have to look. I've got ADD, so I can't remember, but it doesn't matter. Once you get that code, the next time you do prompt ChatGPT, all you have to say is write from the perspective of an ENFP.
Okay.
That's it.
Hey,
so I
can
do that
I'm
same prompt
ENFP.
I did. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, after me, I'm sure. So, you know, that just say, write from the perspective of an ENFP. Or if you're not, you can say, I'm an ENFP, please write from that perspective without mentioning that personality type. If you know your DISC, you can mention that. I happen to be high D with eye shading. There's others that are out there as well. There's Colby and all that. Any one of those can work. But the reason they work is because I can give ChatGPT now four letters and say, here's my personality type. And it has encyclopedic information on what it means to have that personality style. So when it's writing, it will now sound much more like you than it did beforehand.
So good. I'm going to play around with this as soon as we finish.
One of my favorites.
So my last question, which we'll see how simple it is.
Go for it.
You know, every time you mention an AI platform, you rattle off three or four of them, right? You'll say ChatGPT, but then you say Bard, then you say Claude, then you say Gemini. Can you break down? Well, two parter. One, just which one do you default to the most, and why? Yep. And then, do you use certain ones based on certain results that you want? And if so, can you just kind of break that down a little bit in layman's terms?
So by default, if you're not sure where to start with ChatGPT. It has the most flexibility, the most capabilities. And yes, before anybody asks, pay them the $20 a month for their plus. It's worth it. Drop your Netflix. Yeah. You'll get far more value out of the ChatGPT. Seriously, it's well worth it. Scrape together the $20. Don't go to Starbucks for a week. It's worth it. ChatGPT will do pretty much everything that you need. But the reasons that I really like it, Kyle, are because not only does it do text-based stuff, but today was a good example. I uploaded a PDF to it, and I then had a conversation with that PDF about data that was in it. It was almost a 400-page PDF. I didn't want to read it all. Oh, I just wanted to get some highlights. Another more practical example, and I did this today as well, is I use a meeting transcribing tool called Read.ai. There's others like Fathom and that. Doesn't matter. But it creates a transcript of my meetings that I have. I had a meeting last week Friday, and I couldn't remember what I committed to do. Maybe that's just me because I've got ADD. Maybe it's never happened to anybody else, but it certainly happened to me today. And I went back and I took that transcript and I uploaded it to ChatGPT and said, what did I promise to do? Literally. That's all I asked it. And in less than 5 seconds, it told me, here's what you promised to do based on that meeting. So that's where I recommend you start. Google has a similar platform out called Gemini. It's decent. I don't think it's as good. I really only use that if I'm looking for like keyword research. So if I'm writing something and I want to make sure I know what keyword to put in it, I'll use Gemini for that. They're getting better. Google's just, they're not there yet, plain and simple. The next one is a product called Claude. That's Claude by Anthropic. And I use it about 40% of the time and ChatGPT about 60% of the time. Fantastic product. It thinks differently. Here's a quick hack for anybody that's on. Use ChatGPT or Claude to write the content that you want and then proof check it with the other. So if I'm going to write a social media post, I'm going to write a social media post in ChatGPT. I'm then going to copy and paste it in the Claude and say, you're an editor. I'm trying to write this to Kyle, who's interested in video marketing. Is this applicable and what should I fix? Wow. And again, keeping personality types and all that in there, I'm going to get much, much better content. And then there's another one out that I use regularly called Perplexity. And it's what Google should have done with AI. It's an AI-based search engine, but it also can answer questions and do all that. And what's neat about it, instead of just giving you a list of websites to go look at, it analyzes the content on those top results and actually gives you an answer. Plus, it gives you the websites to go look at. So, but if you're getting started, ChatGPT is where to start. You can use Vision, which is when you upload things like that to it to have it do. It'll create images for you. There's the whole custom GPT ecosystem, which we could spend an entire podcast talking about. That's where to start. If you're not sure, start there.
Okay. So much stuff. Guys, I don't know if your head is spinning. It's probably not. You're smarter than me. But my head is already spinning with just new ideas, things that I've been lacking. And so, Jonathan, man, I cannot thank you enough for being a part of this with me. How, if somebody wants to come to you directly, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Oh, thanks for asking. Just go to jonathanmast.com. And then if you want my links, just add /linktree to the end of it. But if you just go to my website at jonathanmast.com, you'll get everything. And if you add the /linktree to it, you'll see all kinds of stuff there.
I love it. Man, it's an honor to have you. Guys, remember, this is just a little glimpse into what we do for you and with you, alongside you in our Next Level community. And so if you want to grow, if you want to elevate to that next level, you need to come be a part of what we're doing. You can go to becomenl.com and you can find more information about what we're doing, how we serve you, how we're committed to helping you grow, because it's getting harder out there. And so if you're not leveling up, you're going to get left behind. And so guys, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I'm not going to say I hope you learned something, because you'd have to be a moron to have not taken something away from the brilliant words of Mr. Whitebeard himself, Jonathan Mast.
And you're so all too kind.
We'll see you next week with another great episode. Talk to you soon.